We have our families raised. They're all off in their own areas now, areas of ministry and so on. And some more so, some less so. And but all of them trying, I think, to serve the Lord somewhere, somehow. We were just up to my son-in-law and our youngest daughter, Elizabeth. Cox is their last name also. They just moved to Oklahoma to work with the Indians up there. And they're waiting for some decisions. And that was interesting. All of them are busy somewhere, though. There's two of them I'd like to see be busy in better things. But they're all related somewhere in the churches, somewhere. You know James. He's down in Trinidad and so on. Good. God has given good reception for his word down there. Good, lots of good things. And you know the kids that are here in town and so on. Anyway, I won't go through all that, but our years are gone. We're raising those. Now we see the grandkids and so on. But we're realizing in the last few years we've been going more into helping others get their churches going. We were trying for years to do it on our own and went through a lot of interesting experiences and some good things accomplished and so on. But as we begin to lose the strength, it takes a lot of energy to be a pastor's wife. That takes a lot of energy to be a pastor too, but it takes a lot of energy to be a pastor's wife. She usually doesn't get the credit she needs. But my wife began to lose that ability to keep up with things, and it just seemed like, well, maybe it's time for a little change. We're still interested in starting churches, but we'll help others get the churches going that where they know God wants them and so on. So that's what we've been doing about the last 10 years. We were in Southeast Alaska for quite a few years, and we moved up into the interior, and I may get a chance to say more about that later. I believe so. I won't say too awful much right now. But anyway, the last 10 years or so, we've helped in several churches there, and we're presently in the interior of Alaska. This is the real winter Alaska country. We're 30, 40, 50, 60 below zero. You know, just that's the interior. And at a place, Glen Allen is the town. And the church is coming along well. Right now there's about, we'll probably have 50 or 60 for Sunday morning service. And it's been good. It's been coming along good. The church was started by a blind missionary a number of years ago, about, must be 12 years or so ago now. And the Brother Seavers that we're working with, presently has been there for several years. And there's been some good things that have happened. A number of folks have been saved, but folks have been attracted in, and the church is coming along pretty good. So we think, well, Lord, is it time to go on? I thought that some time ago, and I think that the Lord has his reasons for keeping us there yet, but I think that will not be too much longer. So pray about what God would have us to do. We are wondering whether we'll continue up there in other things or whether we'll be snowbirding for a while. That is, come down here in the wintertime, help with things down here, go back up there in the summertime for summer things. Like next summer, we want to go out to St. Mary's. How many of you are you familiar with Alaska at all? Where's St. Mary's? Way out west. I mean, Russia's just over the water right there, a little ways. Anyway, there's some missionaries that have been in there about 3 years now. I've had very good reception with the Eskimo people, which is unusual. There's several other places, but that area was a strong Roman Catholic area. And they lost their priest. And Brother Israel Warren showed up. And they had a special village meeting. They said, should we let them come in or not? See, there's been such an abuse by priests out there through that country. They don't let anybody come in the village anymore. And it's a tremendous problem. But they said, yeah, come on in. They voted, and they have been in there. They found very good reception. The building that they're using for church, house, and home is too small now. and we need to build them a house so they can have a church house and a house. And this summer, we want to do that. We'll go down to, as soon as breakup's here, Lord willing, we'll go to Fairbanks and barge a bunch of material 600 miles down the Yukon to St. Mary's. We need to cut trees, we need to mill the trees, need to put them in order, and we got a short summer to do it. So pray about that. That's what we anticipate this summer. And Lord willing, I'll tell you more about some of these things. I think we'll probably see you here again pretty soon. So I won't say too much at this time. Is there any question that far, though? No questions. There's a number of folks right here. I think anybody who come out in this rain like you will on Wednesday night would do well in Alaska. Well, if you want to climatize for Alaska, you just eat lots of ice cream. if you prefer, there's muktuk, you know, whale blubber. All that sort of thing. Those high calories will help you climatize to the North Country. But anyway, and we would certainly welcome you to come. Lots of young folks right here. Yep. And you don't have to be so young now. If you got a dollar, you can buy stuff up there. There's people retiring in Alaska, if you believe that. The thing is, there's people scattered all over that country. Most places have had some kind of gospel witness from 200 years ago up to the present time. Generally speaking, the independent Baptists are slow getting into those out of the way areas. See, most of Alaska is without roads. You fly in, you take a boat in, you mush in the wintertime or get you a snow machine and go in, whatever. But most of those areas are off the road. But the eastern, southeastern area of the state that has roads. All the north, we need roads. All the west, we need roads. And southeast Alaska, down along the Canadian coast, we need some more roads in there. But that's mostly held together by a ferry system. Anyway, great country, y'all come. There's people everywhere that need to be saved. Bring a big pocket of tracks, amen, and a fishing pole. Amen. All right, let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, I think this is a very, very knowledgeable, I mean, it's a very common passage. Most all of us are probably familiar with the woman at the well. There's a lot of different things in this passage. I was wondering about getting into it. I thought, well, I just kind of prompted it that way, and I thought, well, Lord, these folks are bound to all know about the woman at the well. And it just seemed like, no, this is the passage I go to, so here we are. And I trust the Lord will do something. There may be, I don't know, I'm not going to preach all about this. There's so many different things in there to preach. It's a great passage for missions, amen. What I'd like to think about, the key thing tonight is spontaneous missions. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of missions you find in the scriptures. You find those God commanded us to go. We find that he, of course, purposed, and all through the scriptures, you see him going and going and going to people. He always had some purpose, and that's the same as it here with a woman at the well. He had a purpose, and but what we need is a spontaneous missions heart and attitude that we don't have to have something to get us all excited about or whatever, but just something that's natural, normal, every day, where we can go down and pull out a track and talk to somebody about the Lord and be happy about it and tell them what the Lord has done for us. And I like things that are practical. The scriptures are extremely practical. Amen. I've never been one who's been, not that I can't put a sermon together. I usually don't. You know, point A, subtitles, subpoints, poems in the right place, all that kind of stuff. I usually don't. I usually look for the things that are practical in there. I'm amazed at some of these fellows, all the alliteration and things they can put together. I mean, they must work at it quite well. But the Christian life is a practical life.
Amen.
It's practical.
The
only problems we have is when we get away from the practicality that God gave us, the simple instructions he gave us. Let's see if we can pick up a thing or two here and ask God's blessing. If he's in it, it'll be a blessing. If he's not in it, well, blame your pastor for inviting me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for putting so much in this book for our admonition and instruction. Father, we ask you to help now. Guide in my words, in what is said. We pray you'd work by your Spirit in the hearts of each one. You know the situations. You know what is needful. You know that ingredient or the idea that is needed to help in that situation. We pray you just work in your by your Spirit, though, in our hearts, and help us, Lord, to become spontaneous in our Christian living and doing what would please you well. Help, we pray. You've been so good to us, Lord. Oh, guide, we pray. And we thank you and ask your blessings and pray you'd be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here's the woman at the well. Jesus is going up through Samaria. Now, remember, the Samaritans are a people that are half-breeds. They're part Jew and they're part Gentile. The Jews to the south, that is, well, let's back up. When Nebuchadnezzar came in there years before, he took most of the Jews out of the country back to Babylon, and he scattered them through his kingdoms, kingdoms plural, a big empire that he controlled, and he brought people from those places into Israel. He left some of the poor people, the Jews, in the in Israel, and those in the Samaritan area were noted for their mixed blood. And the Jews to the south, see, one of the things that God told the folks not to do, told, you find that with the law and so on, you find that they were commanded not to intermarry with the nations round about. For the, not that they, that couldn't be done, but the thing is, most of those people were idolaters, and God did not want them taking his people into idolatry. Now, you find various ones through the scripture, like Rahab there at Jericho, and you find Ruth, Moabitess. You find various ones who have joined in with the Jewish people, but they turned to the Lord and they followed the Jewish customs. Now, there's a route in this thing, and in fact, even today, if you can be Gentile and become Jewish by adapting their ways, practicing their religion, and so on, and they accept you. Now, you're a good Gentile that's become a Jew. But the thing is, generally you'll find a real prejudice between Jew and Gentile. You look at the world history right now, you look at the news channels and so on, and you wonder why in the world are there so many people against Israel? There's a tremendous prejudice against the Jews. And some of them got reasons for it, some of them don't. But the thing is, God still tells us that those that bless Abraham's kids, he will bless, and those that curse them, he will curse. And that's been a thing down through history, is still in effect, that's been going on. The thing is, though, you'll find the Jews, I was able to go over to Israel a couple, 3 years ago, God worked it out. Just amazing answer to, he wanted to show me something from the scriptures. Great. I don't have time for that one now, though. But I rode over there, or flew over there, with a bunch of Jews that had these long curls down the side, you know, and wouldn't touch their beard, and had a hat on, and all decked out and everything in their holy garments. And they're an interesting people. They need a Messiah. But the thing is, you find a Jew like that, and he's not going to sit down with us Gentiles and eat. I mean, if he's really a separated Jew. Any Jews here? You can correct me if I'm wrong. And of course, you're always going to find exceptions to some of these statements that I'm saying too, because you find some Jews are just as open with the Gentiles as they can be. But those that will be a strong religious Jew are very selective as to who they go mix with. I mean, they don't want to be contaminated. It's the same way back in Jesus' day. And this woman was familiar with this. And as Jesus comes and sits at the well, he's worn out. He's been walking. It's the middle of the day. That is the sixth hour. That's noon. And if you go into Israel in the summertime, I don't know what time of the year it was. I was over there in the wintertime, and it was still warm, still nice. but I could just see a hot trek off through the country, and he is weary. Verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. He had a need to go. He must go. There's a purpose to go, and he did. They departed from Judea, going up to Galilee in the north, and Samaria now is in the middle. Instead of walking around Samaria like most of the Jews would do, Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Then cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, he was 100% man. He's weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's noon. So here he is. He's there. His disciples say, hey, we need something to eat. And they took off to find something to eat. And Jesus sat there. Well, here comes a woman. You see that in verse 7. And this woman is an interesting woman. I've thought of different types of personality, and a number of them would fit her. But I look at her, and I think this gal, we'll see. Let's take a look here. This gal was a little different from some. Okay, we'll say that much for now. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Now notice something. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him. Immediately she points out this prejudice thing that's between the Jews and the Samaritans. She says, how is it that thou, being a Jew... Now, how she recognized him as being a Jew, I don't know. It may have been the garments. We don't know what Jesus was wearing at this time, but there was something she just looked at and said, yes, you're a Jew. that was obvious. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am of a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, I think she had an idea anyway. I think she was going to kind of poke fun at him a little bit. That's what I think. And you, as it follows through here, I think she's kind of a testy woman. Now, one who's had difficulties, one who's not satisfied in life, one who's disgruntled with things, but one who's, you know, often someone like that will not just tease, but be kind of ornery in their teasing of others. They're not satisfied, and they don't let the person next to them be satisfied either. This is why it's so right to be good, so right to be right with God. We can be a blessing to others around us, and we don't sit there and we, you know, like having a little pin popping their balloon. And some people delight in popping balloons of other people. Hey, it makes the children cry. All right, anyway, I think that's what she's doing, though. She lives, how is it? You're a Jew, and you asked me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink. How come you're doing that? Well, you folks don't have any dealings with us people. And, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I think the replies that Jesus has, so often as humans, someone gets a little testy with us on something, wouldn't we give them a kind of a reply back like that? Do you ever do that? I think it's amazing how, of course, Jesus is God. I realize that. And there was no error in what he does. He's perfect all the way. Just absolutely perfect. But he doesn't lose his cool or anything like that. I mean, there's no road rage in those days, as I can see. And he's just, no autos yet. I've been passing along the way. And he just answers her back, says, if you knew who you're talking to, you'd ask me, and I'd give you some living water. I think what she's doing, now notice here, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Now, has anyone here ever gone to a well for water? We go to the tap and do this thing, or pull the lever, whatever. And you go to a well, and you, unless it's an artesian well or a spring out of the hill or something, if it's a well, you've got to let the bucket down in there, and the deeper you go down to find the water, the longer your rope is. And it's work to get water out of those places. Anyone done that? Well, we're in a modern society, aren't we? All right, anyway, it becomes a lot of work. You get a big bucket, and how much does water weigh? Does anyone pack water from somewhere for drinking water or anything? I guess it would be okay. You get a 36-pack, and it weighs a little bit. Okay, a gallon at a time, that's pretty light. Get several at a time. Pretty soon, though, how far are you going to pack those? Now, here's a woman. I don't know whether she's made previous trips in the morning out there and trying to fill up her big water jug at home or not. I don't know. Maybe she's just lazy and late getting up. I don't know. There's a lot of things that are surmised about this. But the thing is, she didn't get there until noon when she saw Jesus. And she's tired of going to the well out here. That's obvious from some of her replies. She'd like this water that's springing up into everlasting life. She looks at this a little bit. First, she says, though, you're a Jew, and you're talking to me. And in the back of her mind, I think, he wants some water. He already said that. And she's going to play with him a little while. Yeah, how are you going to get that water? That well's deep. You got a bucket? What are you going to do? I don't think she was looking for a tip. However, sometimes in the scriptures they got that. You go back and see Rebecca in the Old Testament, she got a good tip. She watered all the camels, remember? The industrious gal. Well, I don't know, but I think she's just kind of poking pins at the Lord Jesus. The other well's deep. How are you going to get that water? You don't have anything to draw with. What are you going to do? And then she goes on and she says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank there of himself and his children and his cattle? Are you greater than Jacob? Now, Jacob was our father too, you know. He's your father, yeah, but he was our father. We're in line for this blessing also. She's got at least half the pedigree. Were you greater than Jacob? I don't know how Jacob got this well, but I'm guessing that he did as his father Isaac had done. He was a well digger. And you go back and read the account there of his dad, and he He dug several wells. His men dug several wells. Jacob may very well dug that well too. Now, that takes some effort to get down in that well and get everything dug out of there. Are you greater than our father Jacob? The water's down there a long ways. He got water. Are you greater than he is? I think he's just poking him. That's what I think. Anyway, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, this woman's interested, but who is this fellow? He's a Jew, I know that. He's a man, I see that. And he claims he can give me some water, even though he doesn't have anything to draw it with. But he'll give me some water that'll spring up into everlasting life. She says, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'd like some of that. But she still doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, there's so many things in the scriptures. You'll hear people say something about scriptures or something they picked up somewhere or something, have no idea in the world what they're talking about. And they need someone to explain it to them. I'm amazed around here how many tracts and things we've given out. And I've talked to some of these along the street a lot, and then, of course, in the business and so on. And by the way, I've never seen tracts received as well as they are today. I find them everywhere. I used to have them refused all the time. Now there's very few that I have refused. I don't know why. I don't think it's because they like my beard. Maybe I puzzle them enough, they think, well, I don't know. The thing is, though, I got sidetracked. Where was I headed? Now, that's the problem of not having the outline, brother. let's see, are you greater than our father Abraham? And she says, yeah, I'd like some of that water. I think she's beginning to listen up just a little bit. Says, yeah, I'd like that water. And the woman said, I'm sure, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She said, I won't come here anymore. This is tiresome, packing water, packing water, packing water, packing water. How many days a year, for how many years has she been doing this? It's got to be quite a few. I mean, how many years does it take to go through five husbands? I don't know. Hopefully, she was able to hang on to one at least a few years at a time. If she was pretty testy, she might have provoked all of them. I don't know. But something happened. They all left her. And Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. And right quick, the woman answers and said, I have no husband. Well, that was true, but not entirely true. You know, is a half-truth enough? Jesus corrected her right quick, and he said, you've well spoken, because you've had five. And the one you got now, you're shacked up with. Now, how would that go with our preaching today? So this is one reason why we don't get a lot of things done sometimes. We have this philosophy that's been given to us that we don't want to offend the people. But the thing is, Jesus had to point sin out to this woman because sin is in the way of her getting the water. And this is the same way with us. If you run into folks and the Lord prompts you at pointing out their sin, point it out, because most of them think they're fine. And they'll say, well, but we might offend them. Well, if so be it. Lots of folks got mad before they got glad. Amen. There's a bunch of them. But anyway, he points out to her, this is the case. You've had five. The one you got now is not your husband. And, of course, she had enough sense to know this was not right. And She immediately says, oh, this fellow must be someone special. He must be a prophet. You know, a prophet knows things, right? Well, at least that was her perception of a prophet. And we see through the Old Testament, many times a prophet knew something. Sometimes God held something back from the prophet. But a prophet would know things because God would show him things. I perceive thou art a prophet. So she's got a theological question. This is amazing. So many folks you start talking to on the street or wherever, as soon as they know that you want to talk about the Lord, they've got a bunch of questions. But all of them seem to detract from getting the water. They all bypass. They all sidetrack us. They go somewhere else. So you have to let the Lord guide you, of course, but you have to bring them back. Have to deal with a sin question. They need to repent of sin so they can get the water. See, so often we say, we run into this all the time. In fact, you can't drive down the street here without someone got a little sign that says, God bless you. And you look at them and you say, well, what happened to them? See, we run every day on the street here. I'm working on a sign again. I'd like to get down on the street with a sign. We've had fun with signs. Ran into your pastor last time with a sign down at the Capitol. Had fun. Anyway, the thing is, though, we need to know something of truth about God rather than just some hearsay or what somebody else said or something, because everyone will say, God bless you, especially if you give them a dime or a dollar or whatever it is they're after. And you find folks who are sincere in believing something that is wrong, and they'll also say, God bless you. And I say, which God are you talking about? Well, there's only one. No, sorry, there's a bunch. There's one true God. That's the one that you need to know about. If they know about that one, then you're down the roadways. I mean, you get your eyes on the right God. This woman had her eyes on a number of things, and one of those questions is, well, here's this mountain. This is where we need to worship. Our fathers have told us that. And you Jews say Jerusalem's the place. And Jesus corrects her again and says, the day is coming, the hour is coming. Let's read that down a little bit farther here. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, in verse 20. In verse 20, Jesus, or 21, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now he's starting to straighten her out on some things. The salvation of worshiping the calf up in the mountain is not the right route. That golden calf that was in Samaria when they went into captivity years ago, they still got idolatry of the calf and of whatever else they brought in with them. There's all kinds of gods as far as their perceptions of false gods. And Jesus wants to get them in on the right track. Salvation is of the Jews. The seed of the woman would come of the Jews. Promised back in Genesis 3. It's of the Jews. We look to God, but we look through a Jew. Amen. Your favorite friend should be a Jew. Yet someone so great and above the Jews. But he came by the Jews. And she's realized he's a Jew. Yep, salvation comes from the Jews. And he goes on. Now, look here. He says he said, you don't know what you're worshiping, verse 22, but the hour is coming now and is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You need to know which Jesus is being talked about with a lot of different religious groups. because they got the wrong Jesus. You have to have the true Jesus. I remember when I first had that really dawn on me, I was up in Seattle at a friend's house, and this Roman Catholic fellow came in. He seemed zealous, loved the Lord, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, everything he says and I say is the same. How come he's doing that and I'm doing this? How come he wants to go to the Mass and say the rosaries and all this stuff? And I say, let's just talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk to the Father. But our words were the same. And I said, let's get down to some definitions. So he said a few things, and I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he told me what he meant. He defined it. And I said, that's not what the Bible says. Wrong definition, but the right terminology. See, you can talk with Mormons. You ever had the Mormons knock on your door and give you all the... Anyway, I've dealt with a lot of them. The thing is, they have a Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Altogether a different Jesus. You go to the Buddhists, they'll tell you about Jesus. You go to the Muslims, they'll tell you about Jesus. It's a different Jesus. You need to come to Jesus that is true. So in talking with folks, definition today is really a needful thing, because everyone is defining things differently in a terminology that sounds the same. That's the basis of this one world religion thing that's developing. God is love. Everybody buys that. What do you mean God is love? Which God are you talking about? What does he do in his love? Is it the one who for God so loved the world that he gave his son? Is it the true father, true son, true Jesus? Or is it a fellow who was just a good man? A fellow who was just a great prophet? A fellow who was just a great man? You go see the witches. They'll tell you about Jesus. He's a good warlock. What Jesus? The true Jesus. Those that worship must worship in truth, and they must worship in spirit. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Now she knew the Messiah was coming. You can talk to some of these different ones in the world right now. It's amazing how many of them are looking for the Messiah, or the Redeemer, or the world leader to come to straighten everything out. And we've even got NASA. I think I've been waiting for NASA to make an announcement about some friendly aliens that want to help us with our troubles. I haven't run into that yet. We got all kinds of things beside that. Aliens, huh? Interesting. All right. But this woman knows Messiah is coming. Now she says, I know when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. And Jesus immediately comes to the truth, comes to himself. It's of the Jews. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now I don't know all that went on between them while they're there talking and so on. But this woman has come all the way around from making fun about this Jew that can't get a drink to looking for the water that he's got and finding out he's a prophet, and now he's the Messiah. Can you picture this? Well, I mean, I could just see her coming down to the well all disgruntled in the heat of the day and got that pitcher on her shoulder and just, I got to get this water again. Ah, there's that old Jew. I wonder what he wants. I guess I'll have fun with him. You know, and from that bad attitude all the way over to, this is the Messiah. Realize that this is the Messiah. Now, the thing is, at this point, she goes away. The disciples come. How's my time, brother? Have I used it all up? We're just getting down to some. Okay, we're okay. Okay. Anyway, Anyway, she goes off. She leaves her picture there. I think she's coming back. I think she's planning on coming back, but she's going to leave it for him for the time being, and she's going to run and tell some folks. Now, here's the thing. If you meet the Messiah, see, here's the thing. You and God were apart, right? Now, I'm not giving you a peace sign or whatever this is today, but I'm just illustrating. You've got two. Now, with two, you're apart. What's separating is your sin. You got to get that out of the way. I mean, even as Christians, this is the key thing that keeps us from being spontaneous. As Christians who want to be spontaneous missionaries, get the sin out. And we have things everywhere that just keep slamming stuff in here, and we pick it up and we pack it with us. But it stops us from that close love, friendship, Father-Son friendship that we can have with God. If we get rid of the sin, confess it. The Bible says in John, if we confess our sin, that was, we say, yes, that is sin. We confess it as sin. It is sin. And we're confessing it to the Lord. It says that He will do what? He'll cleanse us. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's a continual action thing. Amen. I mean, you're going to sin, I guarantee it. You say, how do you know? Well, how many of you got one of these little things? I don't have to say too much, do I? Amazing, but the stuff they run through those. Now, I got one that doesn't have a big screen. I got to put on my glasses to read a little message, and I still can't read it very well. But you take these things, these modern ones, you flip that thing on, and they just fill your mind with all this pollution all the time. It does that. It effectively separates you from God. You know, in the Old Testament, they have a sacrifice for someone who has just heard somebody swearing or seen some things of sin. They didn't participate in it, but they were polluted with it. Now, I'm amazed. You get in where all this stuff is going on, and you get polluted. We go down to 6th Street and preach and so on. I'd love to do that. Or a Festival of Lights or anywhere. Great. Just go do it. Tracks, preach, have a good time. But you know, you get down there, and there's still all this stuff. Boy, if you'll hang on to it at all, it's coming at you all the time to separate you from God. You have to continually look to the cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continually, all the time. If you harbor some of that stuff, you say, boy, that was a pretty good picture. Yeah, about a snapshot. Ooh. Watch out. You leave it there. Say, Lord, sure would be good if those folks get saved. Amen, Lord, that sin, that stuff that they're putting out in front of me, but Lord, I love you. Let that spontaneous well of water continue to work. See, we can stop it with sin. But that well will spring up. It's become spontaneous. We see somebody in there, we water them. Intentional or not. Amen. You ever get around somebody and they say, boy, how come you're so holy today? You just think you're holier than I am. Oh, it's amazing. I remember a fella I saw a few years ago. I hadn't seen him for years. I grew up with him. And I said, hey, I know you. I was back home in Rifle, Colorado. I know you. And he looked at me and said, yeah, I know you too. You're just like that. And he mentioned another fella. All you want to do is get somebody saved. And away he went. Left me with my mouth open there. Did I affect him that way? I don't know. He sure took off. He didn't like me. No, he didn't. He was offended by the by our life. And you can be that way. I mean, it's amazing. And the people that are thirsty, they say, there's someone that's got real water. What have they got? I need to know about this. And you can talk to them. Amen. It can be spontaneous. Missions. When this woman got away, she's gone, and she comes to men, and she says, hey, I met the Messiah. Come and see. If you know the Messiah, you know the Savior, you can talk to us. Hey, I know the Savior. Let me tell you about him. It becomes spontaneous. But if the habit is to continue to be in the filth and the garbage and everything, I like to get news sometimes, but my wife's got one of these iPads, and sometimes I'll turn that thing on trying to find some news. I invariably come away from that thing, I've got to get cleaned up. I mean, it's just a filthy machine. Yet what garbage cans will dig in to find a scrap? Amazing. Oh, the thing is, though, fall in love with the Lord. You can do it. Amen. You can do it, but you have to get the sin out of the way. Keep coming back. The blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us, and he cleanses us and cleanses us and cleanses us. Amen.
That's right.
Every day, every morning, every night, 16 times through the day. Amen. This old world will pollute us and pollute us and pollute us, and it's hard to win the world if we're going to have the world's pollution. I was over at the mall the other day. What? I don't advise anyone to go over there. Even at 80% off. Oh. Anyway, I'm not going to go into the mall. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's time. You just got to get cleaned up. We go down 6th Street, you got to get cleaned up. You go, turn on the news, you got to get cleaned up. You read the newspapers, you got to get cleaned up. The only thing I know that when you get through, you should be all cleaned up is reading that book right there.
Amen.
What a book. I mean, there's nothing like it. All the answers you need are right there. Future history is right there. Past history is right there. The Savior is right there. How to get to heaven's right there. How to have fellowship with God's right there. It's all there. How to raise your family, it's right there. What a book.
Amen.
And I still say to the wife, anything happen in the world today? We got to look at that old tube and see what the world's got to throw out at us. Anyone else like that? Are you like that? Oh. I like good news, and sometimes I get excited about bad news. And everyone under the sun will give you something. But the good news of Jesus Christ is what this woman found out and is what everyone wants to know about. They just don't know that that's what they want. But he give them a drink of good water. You are the vessel, God to use you. Make this missions anywhere you go. Make this mission spontaneous, if at all possible. Amen. And it is possible.
That's right.
Lord bless you. We appreciate you folks. Now, you didn't get points A, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, poems and all that. There's not there, but if you can get that one idea, it'll absolutely change your life if you're not already there. The Lord's so good.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, I don't know what you want to do, but I'm going to give it back to you. Thank you, folks. We appreciate you. Trust to see you again one of these days.
Amen. Brother Hoffmeister is going to be with us for our missions conference coming up at the end of February, and we'll look forward to seeing him and his wife again real soon. I like what he said tonight. He said Jesus had to point out the sin so he could give her a drink of water. I like that. I like that a lot. spontaneous missions. Just her story, Brother Hoffmeister, you'll appreciate this. My dad has worked in Gideon ministry for a long time and worked with a fellow named Leon Bates, and Leon Bates has been a Gideon for over 40 years or something like that, and he was not doing any Gideon work at all. He was just driving down the road about 20 years ago, and did you ever hitchhike? And hitchhiking was something that was acceptable and well and everything about 20, 30 years ago. And he and he picked up a guy and he dropped him off about 40 miles where he needed to go. And he said, "Here, son," he said, "let me give you a Bible. Maybe you'll read it." And he said, "Thank you." And that was it. Never heard anything about it. Just spontaneous, just here's a Bible, read it. It'll tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. They both needed to go to their ways, and just a short little meeting. It was about 20 years later, Mr. Bates needed a roof on his house, and he was working on, called a guy out, and the roofer came out and talked to him. One thing led to another, and you know how if you're a Christian, is you kind of just spot another Christian, isn't you know what I mean? You don't have to talk very long with somebody, and you realize, you know what, this is another brother in Christ right here. It's a sister in the Lord. And he recognized that, and they talked about the Lord, and they finally asked, he said, "Well, how'd you get saved?" He said, "Well, it was up in Danville, Virginia." He said, "You'll never believe it." He said, "No, I want to know." He said, "Well, I read a Gideon Bible." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, but I got it in the most surprising way. I was sitting in the McDonald's there, and this boy came in who had just with a backpack on, and he went and got him something to eat, and he sat down, and he got up to leave, and I was sitting across the table from him, and he took a Gideon Bible that he had got from somebody, and he threw it in the chair. And he got up, and he was leaving, and he said, "Sir, you gonna take that Bible?" And he said, "No." He said, "I don't want anything to do with it." He said, "Well, can I have it?" He said, "Yeah, you can have it." And sooner or later, after he got the Bible and read it, after a couple of weeks, he realized he was a sinner and he needed to trust Christ as Savior. And Leon looked at him and he said, "I was the one that gave that boy that Bible." And you never know. You have no idea. You have no idea what you're doing, Brother Hoffmeister, and giving out tracts. You have no idea what you're doing, giving out a tract to somebody, witnessing to somebody. You may never know what God's going to do, but God's word never returns void, never does. It always accomplishes the purpose for whereunto it was sent. And you be spontaneous in what you're doing. The way to do that is to take that sin out. I don't think I forget that right there. Do y'all? Get it out of there. Get it out. Get it out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this.